Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
cannot say, since sung by Shouty and Shy, a fellow poet. Welcome, my friends, to the show where I pretend to be somebody I'm not. You stumbled across a team of voices radio. It's a Wonderland production sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation. Thank you, A.P. We are a group of writers that hang out at allpoetry.com. We use the Blog Talk Radio to share our work and to follow along on the group chat line on All Poetry. It is free to join. You can find us on the group tabs, ATOV, A Team of Voices. Knock on the door. Deborah will let you in. It is free to join. Let's see. I'm Jay Hatter, your host for the night. This is Strange World. Because it is a strange world, and we'll be going over some of the weirder things that surround us, some unexplained, some explained that you didn't know existed, at least some of them I didn't. This will be the last, is it the last Friday? Last Friday of this month, last Friday of each month. Okay, thank you. I'll be hosting Strange World tonight, February 23rd, in the year of our Lord 2024. We'll be discussing some of the weirder things around us. unexplained science technology number here. If since it is a poetry, a writing site and show, if you have something you want to share, you are invited to call in. The number is 1-646-668-2837. That's 1-646-668-2837. Call in and share. We do encourage writing. Along with me is my friend, my little sister, Deborah Lee. How are you, Deb?
I am good. How are you?
I'm all right. A little flustered today, but I'll make it. Wanted to start off. Oh, go ahead, Deb.
Just a moment. Yeah, I'm glad that you're doing well. My thing is, we just heard this amazing song that Shout Even Shy was singing, and she wrote great music for it. But you just blew it off as her song, and it is a song that was written by J. Hatter, and it was a beautiful poem to begin with and then turned into a song. And you just blew off any kind of credit for yourself whatsoever. So I wanted to rectify it. I'll shut up now.
Thank you, Deborah. I thought I said it. I guess I didn't. I must have skimmed over that.
Nope. You just said it was Shout.
Well, we are, let's talk about science. The science around us, we take so much for granted. Some of the appliances we have in our house, nearly the microwave oven, incredible thing. Certain things, I can't remember what life was like before. It just ate cold food, I guess, most of the time. For example, did you know decades ago, I think almost three decades ago, we sent a rocket into space on an intercept course of an asteroid? I think they call it Jenny. What the rocket's supposed to do is like a bump and run. It's supposed to come up alongside it, maybe possibly land on it. It will collect material, put it in a capsule, and then take off from that asteroid and come back to Earth, which it has done this first leg. It has come back to Earth. It has launched the capsule with the material from the asteroid into the Earth's atmosphere, which landed in a certain grid that they knew where it was going to be and retrieved it. And as soon as the rocket launched it, it launched itself en route to another asteroid to do the same thing. That's amazing. You know, I didn't know we had a rocket that was doing that, but he's on his second leg of which asteroid is next. So in case we have one heading for us, maybe we can intercept it, do something about it, for especially find out what it's made of. Each asteroid's going to be different. I think the ones we worry about are the ones made of iron rather than the thing that they travel at such a high speed coming into the Earth's atmosphere, it would devastate. Just talk to a dinosaur. Yeah, they know. Which the first subject besides the rocket. How about the extinctions? They say now that there was five global extinctions or partial extinctions in our past. Would explain these tools they find in 200,000-year-old rock. Sort of unexplained what's it doing there. The extinction event would have taken out 99% of all life. I don't know how or decided who survived it. But you've got to think about the scenario of a near miss that took all satellites out of the orbit. It does damage to the environment somehow, started fires, or maybe it hits one of the poles and melts the ice in a drastic amount. let's say, only a handful of people survived this after the first year, being a global winter. What would it do to society? Now, think about it. The people that are left, let's say 10,000 people survive, if they get together to band together to just to survive. Now, the generations after that would be told stories of, well, the way the world used to be, right? Then another generation, another generation, another generation, and pretty soon those tales would sound like myths because you're too busy gathering food, hunting food and gathering material to protect yourself. So these stories would end up folklore, right? Maybe they'd even quit talking about it, what the world was like with microwave ovens and satellites and the internet and cars and planes. So that would send us back to the Stone Age, basically. Now, think of that, what it does to you and in the future generations. There's no manufacturing. Nobody's making shoes or clothes or processing food. You'd be hauling water from the nearby creek if it was safe to drink or whatever you have to do to it just to survive. You don't have time to think about recreating things that grandma used to talk about, you know. It's quite a eye-opening scenario because it could definitely happen to us. The technology would the parallel, I think it is, now the way they talk of Atlantis, that they had technology of crystals. For one thing, now to us they sounded, or to previous generations, that they must have been like gods. They have this power that nobody else knows about. What? Why do they have this? Like the technology, it's like magic. Okay, that explains a lot of the pharaohs and the Egypt. With the elongated heads, they would be tales would be told and probably embellished a little bit, maybe changed through the years. So they'd end up being tales that nobody believes, but it would require faith to believe in it because you never saw it. You don't even know anybody that did. After the first 100 years or 100 years, that puts it almost into a religion. If you're counting on faith that something happened, it's quite a scenario. If you think about it, it's scary. I think what would send us into the, if we couldn't get food to the masses, they couldn't manufacture food for some reason. There's a lot of different scenarios that could happen. You'd see the dark side of man. People do strange and drastic things if they're hungry or thirsty, if they think you have something they want, they need. So it's not a place I would want to live in. Yeah, it's sort of the tales of I can't think of another civilization that would have known the technology, except for, I guess, the Mayans, Techs maybe. They built pyramids just like the Egyptians. Some say that the pyramids were already there. The Egyptians didn't build them. They were already there. Somebody else did from a previous, before, and one of the extinctions possible. One scientist from the West, I guess he was on a dig or a fact-finding thing in the pyramids, and he saw the schematics of the king's chamber and such. He actually saw what was written on the walls. It's it's not events, which most people say it is. They got pictures of animals and people and something like it. But he says, no, this is a calendar. And he describes why he says that, and it's quite amazing. I didn't write his name down, but that's one scenario of what future, I mean, what past or ancient astronauts, I guess Leonard Nimoy would say, and the technology they had, we couldn't duplicate. We didn't know how it worked, but it was written down in places. And then, like I said, probably embellished or part of it forgotten. Moving blocks that are 100 tons heavy, you know, in weight. How did they stack those? And you could do all over the world. There's structures that are unexplainable of how they did it. The resonance of music and sound is considered being a lost technology that something, like I said, somehow got lost, or that's probably why we only use such a small percentage of our brain. Maybe being thrust back into a Stone Age would do that. Forget to learn. And then I'll tell you what, you would be so busy every day when you woke up. What are we going to eat? How can we protect ourselves? And that's number one and number two. You don't have time to think about anything else. I mean, it's just a fascinating thought to me. And the other thing is, what is reality? Is reality the same to you as it is for me? How do we know? We've got three dimensions, things we can see, touch, interact with, and they consider time is a fourth dimension. They know there's 11. They say there's 11 dimensions. We have no clue what those other dimensions could be. There are theories. A fifth and sixth dimension would be pretty bizarre. And it's like, everything that we know is within this atmosphere, surrounded by this bubble of gases. Light refracts through it in a certain way that our eyes have adjusted to, I guess. And we know nothing else. Physics out in space, deep space, another planet maybe has another dimension accessible. So for people to say that they know things, you don't. I'm sorry, you just don't. The world, the universe is more complicated than that. Hopefully one day we'll be able to answer that, but I don't think that's going to be possible, and this is why. The ratio between a human being and a proton in an atom, that's quite the difference in size, right? Of course it is. But the known universe, we are closer to a proton than we are the edge of the universe. Mind-blowing. I don't know. I read that, and it was like, I had to take a break. I have to think about that. that brings us to quantum theory. I don't know if anybody's familiar with quantum physics or quantum theory. It drove Einstein. Died not a very happy man, being that he knew he was wrong. Not so much as our physical things around us, but you get down to the molecular level, gravity doesn't work. Because we are bound by gravity on this rock. why doesn't a proton and electron fall into the nucleus because of gravity? Because it doesn't affect it at that level. And why is a atom similar to our solar system? It's got a center, a nucleus, the sun, and evolving around it. Deb, I've got a cough. Hold on.
While you're coughing, just so you know, if you refresh, your two sound bites are at the top of your studio.
Thank you. Thank you. So I got on this rabbit hole, down this rabbit hole, and I found that what are the odds of us surviving most all of the theorists, the quantum theorists of the physics, smartest guys in the world, they believe that there is a creator. There was a grand design of why we are here. They say that it has to be, and one of the reasons is they say the odds of us surviving, man surviving this long, was 1 in 10 to the 2,685,000, which is 10 with 2,685 zeros behind it. An amazing, huge number. I have that other one. They have also found, they've come, I guess, with this new, the Webb telescope and the Hubble Deep Space telescope, we basically have looked as far as we can, because anything further hasn't gotten to us at light speed. So we can only see the edge, what it was like billions of years ago. We can only assume that it's still expanding. And what if it expands to a point and then stop and then comes back the other way? That would give us a timeline of I'm talking about the universe, not the planet Earth, but the universe. Quantum theory drove Einstein a little nuts, because none of E equals MC squared works, not at the quantum level. And he wanted to know why, but didn't have time. Let me grab my phone, my computer, I'm sorry. I had to refresh. Okay. Now, my question to everybody listening is how far do we get technology-wise? Will we be traveling from star to star eventually? And could we ever leave the Milky Way? I mean, the vastness of space is we can't even wrap our heads around how big it is. They say they have found a bubble that is 28 billion light years across that envelops, encases our known part of the universe. Inside this bubble, especially there's a quantum entanglement, which the theory is that things that happen anywhere in that bubble affect something else in the universe, in that bubble also. It's sort of like a butterfly effect on steroids, I guess. Okay, let me get back. Hopefully it's there. Um, I want to play a song here so I can get the. This is a futuristic song by two guys you probably never heard of, Zager and Evans.
Never heard
2525.
In the year 2525, if man is still alive, if woman can survive, they may find. In the year 3535, ain't gonna need to tell the truth, tell no lies. Everything you think, do, and say is in the pill you took today. In the year 4545, ain't gonna need your teeth, won't need your eyes. You won't find a thing to chew. Nobody's gonna look at you. In the year 5555, your arms are hanging limp at your sides. Your legs got nothing to do. Some machine doing that for you. In the year 6565, ain't gonna need no husband, won't need no wife. You pick your son, pick your daughter too, from the bottom of a long glass tube. Whoa, whoa. In the year 7510, if God's a-coming, he ought to make it by then. Maybe he'll look around himself and say, guess it's time for the judgment day. In the year 8510, God is gonna shake his mighty head. He'll either say, I'm pleased where man has been, or tear it down and start again. Whoa, whoa. In the year 95, I'm kinda wondering if man is gonna be alive. He's taken everything this old earth can give, and he ain't put back nothing. Whoa, whoa. Now it's been 10,000 years. Man has cried a billion tears for what he never knew. Now man's reign is through, but through eternal night, the twinkling of starlight, so very far away, maybe it's only yesterday. In the year 2525, if man is still alive, if woman can survive, they may find. In the year
3535. Yeah, Zager and Evans in the year 2525. That was created, I think, in the late 60s. A lot to say about that. I want to talk about artificial intelligence. It's knocking on the door, and it's rushing at us faster than the speed of light. It is, and listen to this, you cannot, from this point on in your life, you cannot trust videotape, you cannot trust pictures, you cannot trust voices. They have, artificial intelligence can reproduce you doing anything it wants it to look at. So it's going to cause problems, because these are things that people were sent away for life, for crimes that were videotaped or pictures or firsthand people that saw it. Now, with the artificial intelligence being able to change that, what's going to happen? I mean, going to have new laws? Is it going to loosen the laws? Is it going to make it easier or harder? Or I think it's going to be Big Brother. I think there's no other way around it. Big Brother's here, and that could be difficult for us. What do you think, Deb?
Hate it.
I know.
I think if they're accused of using it? How do you prove that you didn't? I think if you are using it, I'm not quite sure how they're proving you are. I know that the name that starts with the letter K has said that if he sees a poem that's extremely basic rhyme, it's flagged. But a lot of new poets use basic rhyme, and you grow as you you write. So that doesn't necessarily mean it's innate. And like you said, you can't trust the pictures. It's and nothing that they do can be copyrighted. So it opens up a horrible can of worms, and I don't like the smell.
It could destroy the music industry. It could reshape it, tear it down.
Or writing whatever. Novels or writing poetry or painting paintings, snapping pictures with your camera. The list is endless.
And it is. It can reproduce anything somebody suggests by voice. I saw the videotape of Britney Spears, and I thought it looked like her. Look at her on videotape, dancing and singing. It wasn't her. Created by the AI. And I'll tell you what, all somebody needs is a picture of you, and they can reproduce you doing anything on tape.
There's already TV commercials with celebrities in them, in their, quote, younger faces that are AI created. So they're already there, and that's one of the things that the actors were picketing against because, you know, now they'll just use your likeness in a movie and it's a horrible web.
Or just showing you were somewhere you weren't could be enough.
Yep.
And the court of law. I mean, I have no clue what's going to happen there.
What evidence is real and what's generated? No, I
yes.
said it's end. Horrible, Hatter.
And it's not knocking on the door. It's coming running through it. So it's here. So
and commenting
own...
on our poetry. Come on, I've only had one that I know of so far. And on that, it would happen to be one of my serial killer poems for JCA show. And in the very last line of the poem, it says that the person shot themselves. Okay? So along with some other strange parts that if a person read it wouldn't have put that in their comment, the last thing that the comment of the AI said to me was, it would have been nice to know what happened to the guy. Well, duh, he shot himself. He's dead. So I was not a happy camper when I saw it. And you can always tell if someone comments on your poem, if their comment on it is completely nothing to do with your poem or something as silly as asking you what happened to the person when the last line of the poem clearly tells you that he shot himself. So... it just sucks.
Yeah, it's you know, we've heard of kids having total relationships on the phone. Whatever, hard to think about is that's true. Now, we're a step away from somebody. The only social interaction that they have is artificially created. They answer in a certain way that AI has them to. They go by what AI thinks they should be doing today. I've heard they write me a thesis paper on the 15th century poets. Boom, it's there. So I can totally see somebody going full Dr. Moriarty and having his whole interaction being artificially created. It's not healthy. It's not good. There's nothing good in it. And I don't know how you can unleash tether this guy, that technology down without government grabbing it. And that's a scary, that's scarier than, so I don't know, man. What do you guys think? Because it's, I think it's Big Brother. I think it's here. The only way to control this is to have a power above it. And that would be reigning all of us. I would hate to be accused of something I had nothing to do with. But there you are. It's on the videotape.
Yeah,
security tape.
Exactly. Or here's another scenario for you, Hatter. Young girls who have their first boyfriend, when they break up, or when the guy is with another girl, it of course seems like the end of the world. And sadly, in many cases, throughout the statistics, it leads some of these young girls to suicide, or young boys. I don't want to discriminate. It's a sad topic. Now, you're a girl, and you're jealous of Jane Doe because you like her boyfriend. So you make yourself an AI picture of her boyfriend with you and use it to break them up, and something happens to that girl with her broken heart. How does another teenage girl live with the fact that it's her fault she drove somebody else to suicide? And how does the family live without their child because of an AI picture that was faked? Kids are cruel.
That's true. The pressure on generations still in school and growing up is huge. Ramifications are.
I hate it.
Shoot, you can only try to guess what would happen, because I'm sure there's going to be scenarios where there's no way you can prepare for or know. And there are evil people out there. The one scenario where the parents, there was a call from their teenage daughter that said that she had been kidnapped and they needed money from her. Well, it was artificially, all they got was her voice on tape. That's all they needed. AI, and then they got the home number, and then she talked to the parents, and parents thought it was real. The daughter comes home later that day and knew nothing about it.
Horrible.
That's it is. In fact, we're going to play. I downloaded another little clip, and this is it's Rick Beato, who's a musician from back in the day. He's got a cable. He interviews rockers and puts up top 10 bass lines, that kind of thing. But this is him talking about...
Hey, everybody, I'm Rick Beato. So I'm going to give you some predictions here. I don't like to do predictions, but I'm going to give you some predictions on what's going to happen with AI and artists and the music business over the next few years, which actually may be the next few weeks. Okay, let me read you some headlines. Drake's AI clone is here, and Drake might not be able to stop him. Him is actually AI. The person creating this track is a TikToker called Ghostwriter977. Here's another one. Heart on My Sleeve uses AI to simulate Drake in The Weeknd. New York Times, it says, an AI fake Drake and The Weeknd rattles the music world. And it goes on to say that Drake and The Weeknd, two of the most popular musicians on the planet, the existence of Heart on My Sleeve, a track that claimed to use AI versions of their voice to create a passable mimicry, may have qualified as a minor nuisance, a short-lived novelty that was easily stamped out by the powerful record company. So this thing actually went viral, this fake Drake. There's also fake Kanye. There's now fake Kurt Cobain. I'm going to play a couple of these things in a minute. Okay, before we go on, what is AI, or artificial intelligence? It's basically using computers to match or exceed the abilities of a human. So that would be the ability to discover, infer, or reason. And it does all this without having to be programmed. Under AI, think of it as an umbrella. You have machine learning, deep learning, neural networks, speech recognition, robotics, seeing, hearing, basically anything a human being can do. And this is done by feeding it massive amounts of data. The TikTok video by Ghostwriter977 was taken down. The YouTube video, however, was blocked. And it says, this video is no longer available due to a copyright claim by Universal Music Group. Okay, does Universal Music Group own this? Because this is created by someone else. This is an original composition. Are they saying they own Drake's voice? Because if someone does a parody or if they do an imitation of Drake, that's fair use. All right, I'm going to play you a couple of these AI creations. The first thing is by a group called AISIS, like Oasis, but AI. And this is a Liam Gallagher AI-created voice with a real band.
I don't belong in this place where I was born, but I was hoping that you'd come and set me free. Another sunny day and I've just wasted it away, thinking I thought all the things that I
totally am. I found this video by a YouTuber named Roberto Nixon that shows how you do this vocal replacement. He did it with Kanye's voice. Check this out.
I noticed that I sound like Kanye West. No, Yeezy didn't record a voiceover for me for this video. I didn't learn how to do impressions. This is AI.
So let me come back to my original voice for a second because this is crazy. Today on Metaverse, I posted AI Kanye covering popular songs. Here's an example of him singing Day and Night.
I talk to her and I keep stressing my mind.
That's clearly crazy. And I started thinking, you know, what are the implications of this for the music?
What are the implications,
now,
right?
All you have to do is record reference vocals and replace it with a trained model of any musician you like.
Okay, so let me play another one. This is a Drake thing that I just pulled up. This is called Drake AI, and it says, Winter's Cold.
Winter's cold, where I'm from, yeah, I got enemies, okay, the winter's cold, where I'm from, they try to enemy, I swear, the winter's cold, where I'm from, they try to sentence me, okay, the winter's cold, where I'm from, we had them tenneke, I swear that...
That sounds a lot like Drake. As a matter of fact, I can see people liking this song, even though they know that it's not really Drake. As a matter of fact, there's a YouTuber called More Life Shaq who reacts to the song. Check this out.
That's crazy. We got to say AI Drake, fake Drake, and real Drake now. It's crazy. That is crazy to me. That's how scary this stuff done got. Everybody said, wait till he hear When It's Cold by the AI. We better take this out, man. This got to be a banger. The video got a million views, bro. A million views. And people know it's not Drake. People know it's not Drake. It got a million. Let's check this out, man. Let's go.
When it's cold,
out, bro. When it's cold, out, bro.
When it's cold out from, yeah, I got enemies, okay, the when it's cold out from, they try to enemy,
whoa, Drake, bruh, you gotta hire this, man, this is better than your actual ghostwriters, my nigga, and that's no funny stuff, Drake, you gotta hire this, he better than you.
More Life Shaq is proving my predictions I'm going to make in a second. But first, we're going to listen to an AI Kurt Cobain, this is sacrilegious, singing Black Hole Sun over the original tracks. Check it out.
In my eyes, in this pose, in this disguise, no one knows. Not the face, not the face.
Here's some artifacts there. Not very good. That's pretty good.
Meet the facts with God upstairs. Draw my name to the tree.
Kurt Cobain would never use a vibrato like that. Here's another example. This one's really interesting. This is a Paul McCartney song from 2013 with Paul singing it. And then it goes into an AI version. They've replaced Paul's 71-year-old voice with a young Paul McCartney. This has really interesting ramifications. Check it out.
Don't look at me It's way too soon to see what's gonna be. Don't look at me. All my life I never knew what I could be, what I could do, then we were new.
I gotta say, my friends prefer the AI young Paul McCartney to the 71-year-old one. They've also included a version of AI John Lennon later on in the song. This part, check it out.
You see, there's no guarantee, he's got nothing to do.
Now, that doesn't quite sound as much like Lennon, but you can imagine how these things will sound in a couple years. Okay, here's my predictions. What's going on with AI right now is exactly what happened when Napster came out in 1999. College kids started sharing MP3s. The labels didn't know what to do about it. You had artists like Metallica suing people. Everybody went insane, and the music business just completely fell off a cliff, and they really never figured out what to do until streaming years later. Another thing happened around 1999 is people started using Pro Tools all the time. Manufacturers of tape machines couldn't sell them, so a $40,000 tape machine like I have in my control room here, I bought for $1,500, I don't know, in 2008 or something. It was worth nothing. These things were so expensive that no one used them. Everyone was using Pro Tools in the box recording. Another thing that happened, these amps back here, these speaker cabinets, those weigh about 80 pounds a piece, these 412 cabinets, and the heads are about 50 pounds. If you don't have someone to help you, it's almost impossible to move it and to bring it to a gig and lug it in. Nobody wants to do that anymore. So what do they have now? They have these plugins, like Tim Henson's plugin here on this laptop, that all you need to do is have a little interface and plug into your laptop, and it can come through the speakers on stage, and you don't even need a real amp anymore. All you got to do is carry your laptop with you, or carry an AxeFX or a Neural DSP Quad Cortex, whatever it is. You don't need to carry stuff around. It's all about convenience now. Technology never moves backwards. It just doesn't. Auto-tune. Once people started using Auto-tune in 1998 with Cher, people started using it. It just never stopped. It still hasn't stopped. People are not going to stop using AI. They're going to use it more and more and more. The only question is, what are the labels going to do about it? What are the artists going to do about it? And what are the fans going to do about it? I was just reading an article that my friend Rich told me about the artist Grimes, who's a lo-fi hip-hop dance artist, who said in a tweet, I believe, last week that you can use her voice for AI music. She just wants 50% of the money from it. And as these things get better and better, you're going to hear mashups of things. You're going to hear things that sound like they could be lost tracks of deceased artists. It's just going to keep happening more and more and more. Then all the fights are going to start. You think this Ed Sheeran, Marvin Gaye lawsuit is big? Well, wait till this starts happening. Does Drake own the sound of his voice? Or does the record label that he signed to, UMG, own the sound of his voice? Or is this an original composition that's fair use? AI is here to stay, whether it's someone inputting Chris Cornell's voice and having Lane Staley's voice or Kurt Cobain's voice or Eddie Vedder's voice or Bing Crosby's voice come out on the other side. That's going to keep happening. And they're going to be impossible to chase down all of these. The other thing that's going to happen is that the artists are going to say, okay, I'm fine with this. I just want to get my 50% or 100% of it or whatever. And they'll fight with the record labels to who owns what. And there's going to be Drake and then Drake AI. There's going to be the Beatles and then the Beatles AI. This is going to be on Apple Music. It's going to be on Spotify. It's going to be everywhere. Jimi Hendrix AI. The Weeknd AI. And people will accept these. As a matter of fact, many of them will like the AI versions better than the original artists. Like More Life Shaq liked AI Drake better than Drake. At first, the labels are going to be like, oh, this is great. We have this new source of revenue that we never knew was going to exist. This is amazing. And the artists are going to say the exact same thing. And so the record labels are saying, well, why do we even need to share the money with the artists? We need to just create our own artists. In fact, this is a statement UMG put out about this Drake situation here. It says, UMG's success has been in part due to embracing new technologies and putting it to work for our artists, as we've been doing with our own innovation around AI for some time already. Oh, really? With that said, however, the training of generative AI using our artist's music, which represents both the breach of our agreements and violation of copyright law, as well as the availability of infringing content created with generative AI on DSPs, begs the question as to which side of history all stakeholders in the music ecosystem want to be on. The side of artists, fans, human creative expression, or on the side of deep fakes, fraud, and denying artists their due compensation. They are going to actually just get rid of the artists. They'll make the money from Drake AI and the Beatles AI and whoever. But they're going to make a bulk of their money, I predict, from fake artists, from AI artists, because people don't care. I'm sorry. Just like people don't care whether they're playing through a real amp or not. None of the young bands that I go out and see care. That's going to happen. But then you got things like Spotify and Apple Music. Now, Spotify's going to be like, well, we're the distributor of this, unless UMG is putting out their own streaming thing. But Spotify basically has that, and so does Apple Music. Okay, so Spotify's going to be like, well, we don't need the record labels for this. Why do we need the record labels? We'll just put out our own AI artists. We have the distribution. So they'll create their own, and then the record labels will be fighting to compete with Spotify and their AI artists. Now, you could have a complete fracturing of the streaming model since UMG owns so much of the music that's on Spotify and Apple Music, they could threaten to take it away if Spotify doesn't cut them in on their own AI artists. I mean, it's insane to think about all this stuff that's going to happen. But it's going to happen. Think about all the TV platforms, right? You got Netflix, Disney, Amazon Prime Video, HBO Max, Apple TV, Paramount Plus, ESPN Plus. Think about, there's just millions of them. It's completely fragmented. Who knows? Maybe I'm going to have an AI version of me and then write my scripts with ChatGPT, and you'll just think it's me making the videos, but it's actually really an AI simulation of me. Love to know your thoughts. Please leave a comment. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Thanks for watching.
Yeah, like that. I mean, that's just to the music, the entertainment industry. This technology could topple governments. It could create wars, cause international economic failure. It's a scary thought. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining me on Strange World. It'll be the last Friday of every month. I'll be hogging the mic. Sort of throw some more stuff at you. Deborah, thank you so much for, she does all the heavy lifting in the back so I can sit out here and look pretty. Thank you, Deb. I forgot to say that.
You're welcome. You look so pretty tonight.
Yeah. But you want to hear something, a song going out, Deb? We've got seven
sure.
minutes.
Sure, as long as you educate on it first.
Okay, let's see. It takes me a while to get through the Christmas files. Okay. okay, here we go. I do like that. Oh, what's the chick's name from Canada?
Avril Lavigne.
What's her first name?
Avril.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm right at the APs right now. So, let me find this. I'm with you or something. I'm with you. Yeah, there it is. It looks like it's turned up quite a ways. I don't want to blow everybody's ears out. Let's try that. So, watch it. Oh, I can't play her. I don't know anything about her.
Well.
Let's see.
Well, I'm that's looking. Bad. You can play that if you give me a second. Yeah, like So cut it out. Pow, boom to the moon. Okay, so she is a real Ramona Lavigne, born in 1984, Canadian singer, songwriter. She's considered a key musician in the development of pop punk music, as she paved the way for female-driven punk-influenced pop music in early 2000s. Her accolades include 8 Grammy Award nominations, among others. At age 16, she signed a 2-album recording contract with Arista Records. Her debut studio, Let Go, is the best-selling album of the 21st century by a Canadian artist. How cool is that? It yielded successful singles Complicated, Skater Boy, and emphasized a skate punk persona, earned her title of Pop Punk Queen. Her second studio album, Under My Skin, became her first album to reach the top of the Billboard 200 chart in the U.S., going on to sell 10 million copies. And I thought maybe it would tell us which album the song we're going to hear is from, but I don't see it. But anyway, I think that she has an amazing voice, and I like a whole lot of her songs, and this is just one of them that Hatter's going to play. Great show.
Yeah, and she did it, and she did this song when she was 14 years old, and she married the lead singer from Nickelback. Okay, watch your ears. I don't know how loud this is going to be.
I'm waiting in the dark. I thought that you'd be here by now. There's nothing but the rain, no footsteps on the ground. I'm listening, but there's no sound. Isn't anyone trying to find me? Won't somebody come take me home? It's that day. I don't know who you are, but I
overachievers. Got to love them. 14 years old.
I know, right? Amazing.
Know she is, no. Yeah. Yeah, amazing.
She's 39.
Thank
now.
You. I want to thank everybody. Go ahead, Deb.
She's 39 now.
She's 39. That was a while 39. Ago. Incredible.
Yeah. Hatter, I just sent a copy of what Sweet's looking for to your inbox, so you can check that out. Great show.
Okay.
Looking forward to see what you dig up for next month.
Yeah. And thank everybody for showing up. We'll see you next time. This is Jay Hatter signing off from Team of Voices Radio. It's a strange world. Goodbye, everybody.
Night, Hatter.